So, how you feeling today? Confident? Well, let's check the data on that. Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Horwich. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. It is September 25th, Tuesday. Coming up, why we might benefit from the fact that Japan and China are having a fight, and a new study about the surprising power of potential. And I know that sounds like a DVD box set you might buy from a motivational speaker or something, but it actually is a very interesting paper that has come out recently, and we will talk to one of the authors. First, though, some important economic data has rolled our way this morning, including the latest read on consumer confidence. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with me for a quick breakdown. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, Jeff.
All right, we've got home prices and consumer confidence. What do we have?
Well, the Case-Shiller Index came out this morning, Jeff. It looks at housing prices in the 20 biggest metropolitan areas of the country. Prices in those areas were up 0.4% in July. Mm-hmm. That number was a bit lower than economists expected, but it was still the sixth straight month in a row that housing prices increased. So good news. Some economists look at these numbers and say the housing market has turned a corner. And also, as you mentioned, consumer confidence is up. It has jumped to the highest level since February.
Yeah, consumer confidence. We give people this number all the time. When they measure this, what exactly are we so confident about?
Well, right now, the main thing is jobs. People are more optimistic about the job market. More people are saying jobs are plentiful. I talked with Gus Fauché about this. He's the senior economist at PNC Financial Services, and he says there are a number of things at play here.
We are adding jobs, so the job market is picking up. Stock markets are up. That's a big source of consumer confidence. And we're starting to see house prices turn around as well.
And, you know, Jeff, that just shows how all these numbers are connected. As far as consumers go, if the value of their house goes up, they feel richer and more confident.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Well, good economic data has yielded a good day on the markets, at least at this point in the morning. The Dow and the S&P 500 are both up about 0.25%, the NASDAQ up about 0.33%. Markets close moderately higher in Europe as well, amid the usual rhetorical fireworks over there. Germany's Merkel warning that Spain, Greece, and company need to cut their spending. The head of the European Central Bank says he stands by to rescue those countries if they get into trouble. Consumer confidence and housing, as we said, are looking up. And here's another positive economic indicator in a twisted kind of way, I guess. Healthcare spending grew more than 4% last year, according to a new report out this morning. That's after a period when the weak economy had sent health spending into decline. Here's Marketplace's David Gura.
In the past, researchers have relied on government data from Americans on Medicare to get insights into healthcare spending. Now, for the first time, they have access to data from three major insurance companies. David Newman, who heads the Healthcare Cost Institute, says he and his colleagues went through 6 billion claims.
It is centralized, standardized, and then analyzed.
What they found is healthcare spending went up after a couple of years of going down. During and immediately after the recession, Americans avoided the doctor because they didn't want to pay out-of-pocket costs. But the new data indicates spending has gone back up because costs have gone up. Vivian Ho teaches healthcare economics at Rice University.
There's been a suspicion that we have higher prices in the United States than in other countries, and now this data actually confirms that.
And it's incredibly useful to researchers. Ashish Jha, a professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, explains why.
Data like this give us insights about how we begin to fix the high costs of our healthcare system.
If policymakers can pinpoint why spending has gone up, they can narrow their focus to bring it back down. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Taking a look here, shares of Yahoo are down, ouch, about 0.75% in morning trading so far. Workers at Yahoo are expecting to hear from the company's new CEO today on her plans to jumpstart growth. There's already been one big change inside the company. Yahoo employees are all getting free smartphones and free meals at work now. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Who says there's no free lunch? It's actually something the tech world has been serving up since the dawn of .com, and analysts think Yahoo is just catching up with its rivals. Ron Josey watches Yahoo for Think Equity. He says the company's new chief, Marissa Meyer, is trying to reinvigorate a staff that's seen a long line of CEOs come and go.
These are small gestures towards the larger end of turning the company around. If it can attract improved talent or retain their talent, you know, I think that's money well spent.
Josey sees the perks as almost a necessity for Yahoo to stay competitive. But at All Things Digital, Kara Swisher isn't so sure. She's been covering Yahoo since the mid-1990s, and while she thinks it's probably a good move for the new boss, she says Meyer's challenges run deeper.
The real point is to create a company where people feel that it's moving forward and it's growing. Once you have that, people become attracted to it. They're not attracted to free food. They're attracted to the ability to create products that millions and millions of consumers use.
To put it another way, motivate your staff and you'll have what it takes to eat your competitor's lunch. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Well, China today officially put its first aircraft carrier into service. China says the timing has nothing to do with its recent disputes with its Asian neighbors over naval territory. One of those tiffs between China and Japan over a chain of islands could have a real impact on the U.S. economy. That's because Japan is expected to switch its focus from a free trade pact with China to a new one with the United States. Here's Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
10 years ago, with the U.S. poised to wage war in Iraq, China was busy making friends, says Beijing law professor Stan Abrams.
That was the era of really effective Chinese soft power. They're speaking softly, and yet they're putting their money out there, they're being diplomatic, and their stature rose considerably in the region during that period. But then they get up here to a much higher level, and they start acting like the U.S.
China's been turning up the heat on Japan. It's encouraged protests at local Japanese consulates, many that have turned violent. Japan, China, and South Korea agreed in May to begin talks on a free trade zone. Japan's government says the deepening conflict with China will impact these trade talks. Abrams says Japan's renewed focus on a free trade pact brokered by the U.S. in the region could mean the big winner out of this row between China and Japan might end up being the American economy. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
As we wrap up here, quick technology item straight out of James Bond or something, seems to me. This week at a German auto show, Goodyear is rolling out its new self-inflating tires. The tires will automatically monitor their pressure and open up a valve to somehow inflate themselves if the pressure gets too low. Sounds amazing. Commercial truckers will be the first to get these things, but there will be a consumer version coming, and it's not clear how far you can push this. When I get mine, I'm going to try them out on some parking garage tire spikes. And finally, you know, if you're bored with playing Angry Birds on your phone, you can upgrade your tastes a little bit and download something called Einstein's Brain. It's a $10 app. It is available starting today, and it's exactly that. 350 digitized slides of Einstein's brain. The Chicago Medical Museum that has custody of these images hopes that by crowdsourcing their analysis, we can all learn more quickly about what made that brain so extraordinary. And I'm just going to hazard a guess here that part of the answer to that question is not spending hours playing with a smartphone. That's all for the Marketplace Midday Update. I'm Jeff Horwich from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.